morning to everyone. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths, the program where we expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism, with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, I'm going to strive to help you understand why these things are occurring and what we can do to protect ourselves, while at the same time predicting what these events portend for our future. During our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant and through His Torah teaching, ultimately striving to replace religion with reason. Our phone numbers for those who would like to question, criticize, or affirm anything I have to say or just join in this conversation is 877-300-7645. I'd like to begin where we ended yesterday's first hour. This with a email from a good friend and listener. He says, Yada, I thought your coverage yesterday of the broadening Petraeus and General Allen scandal was revealing. One of the things that I find so striking about all of this is how the general's adultery has taken on a minor importance against his divulging of sensitive information. The insistent volleys on who knew what and when consume the airwaves. Yah hates adulterous behavior, and we should too. That is, if we really care about what Yah cares about, which is His covenant. It is not that the world is so screwed up. You know, I began yesterday's program by diminishing the focus on adultery. It is true that God is opposed to it. It is true that it is counterproductive to our relationship with God. And it is true that the marriage relationship is extremely important to God because marriage, husband and wives living together, being faithful to one another, and creating a positive, nurturing environment for their children, guiding them in Yah's Torah teaching, is the epitome of what God would like us to do with our lives. The reality is that the vast preponderance of people have become adulterous. My purpose, therefore, in focusing on what happened yesterday, was to expose men who I have come to know as the living embodiment of evil. These are two of the most evil, destructive, misguided men in Americans' most recent past. And it is in the sex that the bigger issues with the U.S. military and CIA are being missed, as is the consequence of what these men did while operating in the CIA and the military. These are evil institutions. They were led by evil men. Adultery is just a symptom. Let me explain. 10,000 young Americans were killed at the direction of Petraeus and Allen. 100,000 young Americans were maimed, fighting a foolish war, which made a very bad situation worse, all at the command of Petraeus and Allen. 1 million Iraqis and Afghanis died as a result of the invasion of their country, which was orchestrated by Petraeus and Allen. America is now bankrupt after squandering $4 trillion, which slipped through these men's fingers. And worst of all, Iraq has been given to Iran, and Afghanistan has been given to Pakistan as a result of the American invasion these men led. All the while, they have infuriated and aided America's enemies, the very countries who either have or are developing nuclear weapons as a result of America's invasion and who will deploy them, killing Americans. The consequence of these men's misguided and immoral exercise of their duty is what I find so devastating. Now, there are two aspects of this that I'm going to delve into again this morning. The first I covered yesterday, but it's a point that I want to resonate. If you are the parent of a young man or a woman who was killed in Afghanistan over these past 2 years, while the general who was charged with protecting these men wrote 30,000 emails to a married woman, then you should be enraged. You ought to come to despise not only the man, but the institution that he represents. Now, let's turn to Petraeus. That was Alan. In the news today, in Baghdad, a series of attacks killed at least 15 people and wounded dozens Wednesday, police said. A car bomb targeting a convoy exploded near two hotels in central Baghdad, killing a person and wounding seven others. In Kirkuk, at least nine people were murdered and 31 were wounded when three car bombs exploded in an ethnically mixed area of Baghdad. In the southern city of Hilla in southern Iraq, a car bomb exploded near an outdoor market, killing another five civilians and wounding 12 others. Hilla, which is predominantly Shiite, is in Babel province. Babel. Of course, from Babylon, Babel is the Hebrew word for confusion. It's the very thing that God asks us to walk away from. In the Dalyala province, two roadside bombs and a car bomb, all in different areas, wounded another 11 people. Last month, nearly 150 people were murdered, and several hundred others were severely wounded in escalating violence across the country, according to the Interior Ministry. Baghdad's Shiite-dominated government has blamed the recent attacks on Sunni insurgents with ties to al-Qaeda. Now, why would I share this as a consequence of General Petraeus? Because it was General Petraeus' strategy. He's called the great strategist among American generals. It was his strategy that once America armed the Shia militias and the Shia military that now prowls Iraq in league and in concert and following the orders of the very mullahs that we oppose in Iran, he came up with the grand idea that we should supply weapons and money to Sunnis so that Sunnis could confront the Shias and that there would be a stalemate as opposed to the constant attacking of the Shia militants against the Sunnis. And, of course, it was just retribution. The Sunnis were, when they were in charge of Iraq, oppressed the Shia. And now that America has empowered the Shia over the Sunnis, the Shia are seeking revenge. So Petraeus's grand idea is let's put a gun in the hands of every civilian Sunni willing to accept our money and our bullets. Now, not only has that led to the deaths that we see occurring every day, and this now ability of Sunnis to perpetrate bombings of civilians with great impunity throughout this country. But beyond that, we have something else that is going on here, something even more sinister than the continued murder of Iraqi civilians at the hands of the very people that Petraeus sought to arm and aid. I want you to turn your attention for a moment to the consequence of the great American strategist, to Syria. You know, Syria's protests against the Assad government began as peaceful demonstrations, and they were peaceful for a considerable period of time. And then, in a country that was ruled by an oppressive dictator, so that the opposition had no weapons, all of a sudden, throughout that country, the opposition was armed. The Sunnis all had automatic weapons. And the Sunnis were now firing at and killing the Shia-dominated government. Where do you suppose those jihadists who were armed with automatic weapons came from? Let me give you a clue. They are the very same people that General Petraeus, the great strategist, sought to arm in Iraq. They crossed the border. They turned what was a peaceful demonstration into civil war. That is the consequence of the evil that is embodied in General Petraeus, the U.S. military, the CIA, and now in General Allen. It is the consequence of our government malfeasance. This known, I'd like to turn your attention to something that is, should have the world's undivided attention. Europe is literally disintegrating at the seams, all based upon the very issues of economic pedophilia that the U.S. election should have been predicated upon, where debt and deficits, where entitlements should have been the primary issue of the day. But they weren't in America. And in Europe, what we're seeing is the mass of the people responding in the most ignorant and immoral way possible. So, Scott, you have some excerpts that I'd like you to play from a, I believe it is a CNN piece that was produced in London regarding the European-wide protests that are being held today against austerity. Let's play these various segments of that video, the audio portions of it. This is a radio, so you'll have to imagine the imagery, and I'll comment on them as you play them.
It's set to be an unprecedented day of action across the European continent. In Athens, they will protest against measures they say compromise their livelihoods. Whilst the IMF and the European Union debate whether and when Greece can receive its next bailout payment, protesters remind them they are the ones paying.
All right, think about that for a moment. They are the ones paying. The Greeks are trying to remind those who are supplying their debt, who are financing them, that the ones receiving the benefits are actually the ones paying. Let's explore, when we return after the break to Shattering Myths, this mentality that those who receive the benefits are somehow the ones paying for them. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're in the midst of considering what is transpiring across Europe, where those who are fortunate enough to have jobs are not working, going on strike to protest the fact that there are too many people without jobs. It is a very odd and hypocritical day indeed. Scott, would you play that first clip again for us?
It's set to be an unprecedented day of action across the European continent. In Athens, they will protest against measures they say compromise their livelihoods. Whilst the IMF and the European Union debate whether and when Greece can receive its next bailout payment, protesters remind them they are the ones paying.
All right, let's consider that just a moment. First of all, it's a day of action. A day of action is a day when you don't work. So we've redefined that which is actionable as rather than engaging and being productive as being unproductive. That is a day of action. They're protesting against their livelihood. Now, here they are protesting that they have issues with their livelihood by not working. And they are looking to their government, who they are now assailing, to provide for their livelihood, which means that they have become dependent. And in the same sentence and the same just context of discussing bailout payments being provided, and it's now bailout payments are being provided by those outside of these countries, outside of Greece in particular, primarily Germany, that even though Germany is providing the payments, this journalist has the gall to suggest that it's actually the workers who are paying. Now, think of that. This journalist is so liberal, so lost, that she's actually siding with the protesters and say it's the workers who are paying. Now, let me see if I get this right. If I every day went to work, and as I was working, I took a say $5 out of what I earned, and every day for 30 years, I stopped to give an able-bodied panhandler that $5. Now, it's money I earned, and every day for 5 years, I chose to pay the panhandler $5 for doing nothing. And then, at the beginning of the 31st year, I find the same man on the street, same hand out, waiting for me to hand him the $5, but I give him $4 instead. Is the panhandler making a sacrifice? Is the panhandler paying me because I'm giving him $4 instead of $5? Is the panhandler giving me a buck? Now, consider it this way. Now, what if over those 30 years, rather than taking the $5 from money that I myself earned, I instead steal the $5 from my children's future allowance? Now, who is paying? Scott, could you run the next clip of the mayhem that we're witnessing in Europe?
On Tuesday, 2,000 civil servants took to the streets. In the last 2 years alone, they have seen their wages shrink by as much as 40%.
All these measures, they are pushing us back 50, 60 years. They are cutting our pensions in half. There is a million unemployed, more taxes. In other words, our lives are just getting worse and worse.
All right, first of all, they're described as civil servants. If you are serving, you ought not be paid for serving. If you're going to be providing a service, that's your choice, fine. But when you get paid for it, it's no longer a job. And when you're rioting, you are no longer civil. They talk about their wages shrink. We're now talking about government employees whose wages are shrinking. You know, it's been during the last 3 years, particularly in Greece, but also now in America, that those who worked for the government had previously made about a third of what those who worked in the private sector made. Because there was no risk associated with the government job, there was no need to actually produce anything valuable. And in the government sector, you essentially can't be fired and you're not held accountable for your performance. And so they were paid less. But now, in America and in Greece, the best paying jobs are those in the government. And so they're now complaining that their overinflated salaries have shrunk. But it is the last comment that is particularly revealing. That is that their pensions are being reduced. It is the pensions that postponed the payment and the consequence of this economic crisis on future generations. And now they don't like it, even though they created this mess. To Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We are in the midst of discussing the issues associated with the general strike in Europe. This is important for us to understand because as we consider Yahweh's covenant, we need to appreciate the fact that the one prerequisite that is associated with participating in his covenant is to walk away from your country, to do the opposite of what Europeans are doing. They're putting themselves in a position, or have put themselves in a position, where they're wholly dependent upon their government for their well-being, for their livelihoods. And what God is saying is exactly the opposite. If you want to participate in my covenant, if you wish to be adopted into my family, if you wish to have a relationship with me, then I want you to rely on me and trust me, not your government. And he goes on throughout his prophets to denounce religion and politics so that we understand why it is that we should not put ourselves in the very position that the protesters in Europe have themselves. So, Scott, could you please play the next clip for us?
In Lisbon, months of quiet resignation have turned to anger and discontent. A new bolt of severe tax increases and rising unemployment have made social unrest the norm.
Cada vez se vê mais pessoas.
All right, so here now in Portugal, we have anger and discontent. It is the rage that we're going to see spread across the entire world. And rather than blame themselves for having made themselves parasites, rather than accept responsibility for having been economic pedophiles and indulging themselves economically while passing the burden and the consequence on to their children, having their children bear the consequence of their indulgence, rather than admitting these things, rather than trying to wean themselves away from these things, those who have become the parasites are instead enraged, and they're blaming the very source of their drugs for not supplying them with enough drugs. Let's go with the next clip, Scott.
For Spain, this will be their second general strike in a year. With unemployment at more than 25% and cuts from health to education. The country's two largest unions have plenty to protest about.
Recortes no solamente se están produciendo en España.
All right, so here in Spain, the protests are because of cuts in health and education. Now, that means that it is they're disappointed that the government who has been providing their health care and the government who has been providing the means to educate their children is saying that we are unable to spend that much money on your health care and on the education of your children. So perhaps you ought to take some responsibility for your health care, and perhaps you ought to take some responsibility for educating your children. But what do the people say who have benefited from these things without making a contribution to them? No, you're hurting us by no longer funding that which we ourselves have not sought to fund ourselves. We didn't want to sacrifice the money to enable our own health care. We didn't want to pay the money to educate our children. And because now someone else is no longer willing to subsidize these things, we're angry. Again, the ability to examine what is actually happening rationally, to respond rationally and morally to this, it seems to be lost on the vast preponderance of people, which is how the European continent and soon America will find itself totally lost in a situation, in a death spiral that becomes irreversible. We have become nations of dependents, of parasites, of individuals no longer capable of being moral, rational, or reasonable. Let's go on, Scott.
But despite the recent violent social unrest and the rise of suicides in Spain, the government is sticking to its fiscal plan.
I said I would lower taxes, but I am raising them. I haven't changed my criteria, nor will I decline to put them down when possible. But circumstances have changed, and I must adapt to them.
All right, so what do we have? When the government is no longer willing or able to subsidize every whim and indulgence of the people, what do the people do? Well, when your life is wholly dependent upon your government, when you don't heed Yahweh's advice, when you don't turn to him for support, you commit suicide. Suicides in Europe are at astronomical numbers, particularly in Spain, a country dominated by Roman Catholicism and socialist government spending policies. The other part of this is really telling. The response of the liberal Europeans to their debt crisis, to their spending crisis, is to raise taxes. We, on these last few days, have devoted much of our program to proving that by raising taxes, you do two things. You destroy economic viability, and therefore you diminish the number of jobs and the prospects of people being able to provide for themselves. And by increasing taxes, you actually increase deficits. That by reducing taxes, deficits are turned into surpluses, and economic pain, economic downturns are turned into economic progress. And yet, not willing to heed that reality, governments in Europe are trying to confiscate the monies of those who remain productive so that they can satiate the demands of those who are unproductive. It is all a means to causing the parasites to become so dependent upon government, and that and the last little vestige of viability in the free enterprise system amongst those who are productive, all to die. Because when it all dies, and it's destined to do so, then those who are empowered have total control. Let's go on with this story, Scott.
Even Italy must come face to face with fiscal responsibility, which has so far been on sidelines of Europe's austerity protests.
We believe that the voice of the workers should finally be heard, because they are the ones suffering.
On Monday, 3,000 students vented their anger at Chancellor Merkel's visit and at their Premier, Mario Monti. Youth unemployment is near 35% here.
We are students and our future is at stake, and we need to do something. If we don't do something, who will?
Many languages, one common enemy, austerity.
The common enemy, austerity. Many languages, one common enemy, austerity. What is austerity in this case? It's simply defined. It's government payments to people. Europe is very much like America. The majority of its citizens don't pay tax. Those who are protesting don't pay tax. They receive benefits from their government. Now, benefits not only come directly from the government in terms of their education, their children, and health care, and pensions, but many of those payments actually are imposed upon businesses, making businesses less effective, less efficient, less viable, strangling them. But it's government control over businesses and interference in free enterprise that is also responsible. And so the enemy has become the government's unwillingness to continue to pay people more than they are willing to contribute. That's a very sad situation. What have you to say about this, Scott?
Well, I'm first off, I find it amazing that people think that they're owed something from a establishment that is the lesser of two evils at all times. My whole life, that's all people have voted for, is lesser of two evils.
Yes.
So basically, if you're voting lesser of two evils, now you're trusting evil.
Yeah.
Which is, and it's their own thing. But where do people get off thinking that they're owed something? Why do you,
they're protesting against austerity, which means they're protesting against a diminishment in the amount that they are given that they have not earned.
The amount of benefits and public services provided to them.
Right.
But I don't make a ton of money, but everything I do make, I feel I've earned, and I put effort into it. And I get up every day at, 8 o'clock in the morning, and I come to work, and I don't miss days of work and things like that. And I work for everything I have, and I don't ask for, help from anybody to pay my bills or anything like that. When did things become so amiss among people in general that they feel that they're owed something and that they shouldn't provide for themselves?
Even able-bodied people. I've got no issue if you're an orphan. Those who can ought to help the orphan. If you've been widowed and somehow are unable to care for your children while earning a living, by golly, there's society ought to and people ought to help those individuals out. If you were born with a handicap of some sort, or you were somehow injured and debilitated and therefore are unable to work, or you have been stricken with a disease that whose cost is draining your savings, these are all wonderful examples of where a society can contribute to meeting the needs of those individuals.
But
if you're able to work and you choose not to, or if you are able to work and rather than receive what you have earned, you think you're entitled to much more and that money to pay for those things should either come from other people, be stolen from them, or be taken from your children, there's something grotesquely immoral about you.
Well, that's just it. I mean, everything that you said, kids, I fully believe in supporting kids and helping kids out. I will, if my taxes are going solely to education and in helping kids to be better and helping orphanages, I'm all for that, you know? But at the same time, I want to see some return on that. I want to see we shouldn't be ranked, you know, 50th in the world in education.
Yeah. Well, but that's the problem, Scott. That's the problem.
There's no return on it. And
because the money that goes to education isn't going to educate your children. It's going to enrich the teachers who are indoctrinating your children. And rather than actually teaching your children history so that they can learn the lessons of history, teaching them mathematics and rhetoric so they can deploy logic and understand statistics, so that they can understand the correlation between things, rather than educating them so that they can think, they're doing exactly the opposite. They're indoctrinating them in the very culture that creates the dependence mindset. And so we're not investing money to educate our children. We're squandering money to indoctrinate them. We'll return with a conclusion on what is happening in Europe and what is soon to befall America as we move into the Declaration of Dependence.
You know what?
To Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Hiata. Let's see if we can summarize the mentality of those that are screaming in Europe, and very soon those who will be screaming in America. What you're witnessing across Europe is what you will soon witness in America. So let's put this into context. They're saying that debt is good, but lenders are bad. They're saying that bankrupting a nation to indulge its people is healthy, but being responsible economically is harmful. They're saying that giving people more than they earned for decades by robbing their children is moral, but reducing the payments to confront economic pedophilia is immoral. People have become so dependent on government, they are now helpless and pathetic without their lifeline. And they are now enraged against the very source of the drugs upon which they have become addicted. They are not calling for withdrawal, but instead for an ever-increasing and free supply of the very poison that is stupefying them and debilitating them. That is what the world has become. Now, can you imagine for a moment being Yahweh? You're God. You're looked down upon the world and you see these protests, these pathetic people, their screams. You recognize their very dependence upon the very thing that God said, please, walk away from. The covenant began with these words. Walk away from your country. Disengage. Turn your back on it. That's how it began. And God is saying, everyone, clinging to their government, expecting a handout. And yet, in Yahweh's own name, there is a handout. Yah's name begins with a yod, which is a hand. It's a forearm coming down, upper arm coming down, a forearm reaching out with an open hand. God is saying, I'm reaching out to you. Grab my hand. I'm reliable. You can trust me. I'm not going to disappoint you. But if you're going to grab my hand, you've got to let go of your country. Let go of it. So you can grab my hand instead. And I want you to know that while you're grabbing the hand of your country, it's not reliable. It's not dependable. I am. And what are the only repeated letter in Yah's name? Two people standing up, not bowing down. Arms reaching up to Yah to grasp hold of his hand, looking up to him. It is what we all need to recognize, that this is where our attention needs to be. This is what we should do if we want to extricate ourselves from this horrible situation. You know, we are now in a position where nations across Europe and the United States have unsustainable debt. It is debt that has grown so large that it's no longer sustainable. That nations have put themselves in a position where they will no longer be able to find lenders willing to supply more money. What's happened in Europe? The people are literally enraged against those who are loaning them the money. Pictures of Merkel, the chancellor of Germany, her as a swine with swastikas. They're enraged at the people that are loaning them the money. At the United States, our principal lender is now China. And what are we doing? The Obama administration is positioning our military so that its primary foe is China. What do you think will cause these countries to continue to loan America and Europe when the people are enraged against them, hating them, and unwilling to take responsibility, even to pay back those loans? Unsustainable debt is what exists now in America and throughout Europe. And when that occurs, sovereignty is sacrificed. The people who have ceded their lives and well-being to the government lose all influence over their government, as their government is now a debtor in possession of the bankers. Yes, a bankrupt country like Greece, like Italy, like Spain, like Portugal, and even like the United States, is now a debtor in possession of the bankers. The people become nothing more than pawns to be controlled, just as was the case in communist China and the USSR, in fascist Germany under the Nazis, and medieval Europe under the control of cleric and king. So I ask you, which of these political and religious institutions proved reliable?
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity.